The title of this message this morning is quite simple. But the scope of its teaching is so comprehensive. The title of today's message is simply The Blessing. The Blessing. I've entitled it that because in my 48 years of ministry, there's always been one common denominator, and that is that almost everyone that has attended a church service that I was preaching at came with one hope in mind, and that was to be blessed. And if you're here today and the thought on your mind is not to be blessed, I'll tell you right now. I don't know why you're here, but I'm glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here. But God expects us to come wanting a blessing from Him. Now, here is something. In fact, if you're one of those people that came today and you were asking God to bless you, I have some good news for you. God wants to bless you. I mean, think about it. Blessings are so important. Think back in the scripture. Cain killed his brother Abel over a blessing. Jacob deceitfully stole his brother's blessing. And I could go on and on and on. David, the young shepherd boy, was thrown into a pit and left to die. But God had other plans for David, didn't he? And not only did David get rescued from that pit that he found himself in, and there may be some of you here today that find yourself in that pit, find yourself in that hole. God took David and turned him into what? A blessing. See, God wants to bless you. I want you, there's a word that the Bible uses, that the Hebrew language used to describe blessing. It was the word Baruch. Baruch. And what that word meant was to increase. So when you and I are asking God for a blessing, what we're really saying, according to the original text, is, God, increase me. God, bless me. Make me more today than I was yesterday. I want more of you. I want to receive more of you. And I want to give more of you. How many of you believe today that blessings are twofold? We receive blessings so that we can be a blessing. There's a beautiful, beautiful picture of that found in Genesis chapter 12 in verse number 2. I want to read that for you in a minute, but before I do, let me just say this. There are a couple of types of blessings. There are material blessings, and there are spiritual blessings. Now, whether you realize it or not, every single person in this room has received material blessings from God. We may not always recognize them as such, but trust me, you and I have received material blessings from God. I know Connie and I can literally probably not recall every blessing that we've had, but there are some emphatic blessings in our life where God has provided. And we remember those, and we praise God for those. But everyone is blessed, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But I want to tell you this. It is God's intention to bless you. It is, listen to this again, it is God's intention to bless you. So let's read that 12th chapter, that second verse of Genesis, because it's that beautiful picture of God speaking to Abraham, or Abram at that point in his life. And it's God saying to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you materially, and I'm going to bless you spiritually. Listen to what that verse says. And I will make you a great nation. There's a blessing. Because I think at that time, Abram would be standing there looking around when God said, I'm going to make you a great nation, and going, well, there's nobody here but me. But if you say so, God, did God carry out that promise? Did God carry out that blessing? Yes, he did. I'll make you a great nation and I will bless you. There's a good one. God's seal of approval right there. I will bless you. Did you know God makes that same promise to you today? I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. That goes right back to what I just said. We receive a blessing so that we can be a blessing. Y'all ever been a blessing to someone? You're a blessing to me every time I walk in this church. There are people in here that just bless my heart. And I love you dearly. But we are to receive God's blessing, and we are to be a blessing to others around us. I got to tell you, there are people in this room right here that have been such a blessing to me that it's immeasurable. Now, the problem is we don't always recognize God's blessings, do we? I mean, those things happen in our life and we totally overlook them. It seems like we don't even, I read about two friends that hadn't seen each other in a long, long time. And they met on the street. And one guy looked at the other, and the guy was standing there just so forlorn, so sad. I mean, he was almost on the verge of tears. And the guy looked at him, and he said, my friend, what's wrong? I mean, why? What's going on in your life? What's happened? He said, well, I got to tell you. 3 weeks ago, I had an uncle die. He passed away, and he left me $40,000. And the other friend said, "Wow, that's a lot of money." And I'm assuming that guy was a pastor, because pastors think $40,000 is a lot. If you'd have preached in some of the places I preached, you'd have thought it was a lot. Anyway, he said, so what's the problem? He said, well, you don't understand. 2 weeks ago, I had a cousin pass away that I didn't even really know that well, didn't know anything of him, and he left me $85,000. The other guy goes, wow, what a blessing. He said, no. You're still not understanding. Last week, I had an aunt pass away. And she left me just shy of $250,000. The guy stood there and said, I don't understand the problem. You're confusing me. I just don't understand. And with that, the other guy stood up and said, this week, nothing. You know, sometimes we get to expecting God's blessings, don't we? But God's blessings come in God's time. So here's what I want you to understand. Material blessings are great, but spiritual blessings are always better. Because spiritual blessings are always administered by God. You see, material blessings can be performed by other people around us. But spiritual blessings, the best blessings, can only be performed by God. So here's what I want you to understand. You were created to be blessed. I know a lot of people haven't felt that way all the time, but I want to assure you today, you were created to be blessed. Right now, God's working in the midst of some of your lives, and He's working out a blessing for you, an undeniable blessing. And God's laying in your lap opportunities. God's laying in your lap something He wants to bless you with. But you have to live in that blessing, don't you? You have to understand that you were created to be blessed. Now, we're going to get into our text this morning here very quickly. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 is a verse that I want you to understand before we get into the other verses. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Now listen to this. "With all spiritual blessings." Remember what I said. "In heavenly places in Christ." Now what does this verse say? This verse is saying that these spiritual blessings that God is about to put upon you and that God has already placed upon you are dispersed according to the believer's needs. See, he's saying, when you have a need, I will disperse that blessing to you. Also, according to your growth, do you realize that God intends for you to grow spiritually, mature? And as you and I grow, God provides spiritual blessings. And then lastly, He provides those blessings as we grow in our faith. Now, everybody has faith, whether you realize it or not. Because every person that walked into this building this morning and backed up to a chair and sat down had every confidence that that chair would hold them. You didn't think about it. You just sat down with the assurance that that chair was going to hold you. So I want you to understand something about, we're going to look at, in our passage of Scripture, at in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 14, the verses that are after that one, verse 3. We're going to look at these verses, and within these verses are 9 spiritual blessings that God has given to each and every believer. And to understand this, spiritual blessings are eternal blessings. See, material blessings can be for whatever time they're needed. You're blessed physically or materially, and then that blessing might go away. But when you and I are blessed spiritually, when we receive a spiritual blessing, it is an eternal blessing. Listen to what the verse says here. We'll begin reading in verse number 4. "For He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." Whoa. Pastor, do you mean that before the world was ever formed, God wanted to spiritually bless me? Yes. He did. And it was already a thing that humanity would be the recipient of God's spiritual blessings. They didn't happen yesterday. They happened before the foundation of the world. Let me go on. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he planned in him for the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, that's Jesus, his son, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. We've also received an inheritance in him, predestined according to the purpose of the one who works out everything in agreement with the decision of his will. So that we who had already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to his glory. And when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were also sealed with him with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Amen? Let's look at those 9 spiritual blessings that were revealed to us in that passage of Scripture. Blessing number 1. You were chosen. See, when I was a kid, and they'd start picking teams for whatever it was, I don't recall ever being the first one picked. In fact, a lot of times I was the last one picked. Listen to me, church. God chose you. And he chose you first. Look at what the scripture says in verse 4. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before you were ever born. Before your personality was ever formed. Before you knew anything. God chose you. And he chose each one of you first. You're on my team. You're on my team. You're on my team. You're on everyone in this building. God chose you. Now, this nullifies the lies of Satan, doesn't it? Because Satan would have you to believe that you're not first. Satan would have you to believe that you are in fact the last, the least of the favorite of God. But God says, no, I choose you. So Cassie, God chose you before the foundations of the world. Karen, God chose you. Kevin, God chose you. We was trying to figure that one out, but I mean, I should have not said that. the reason I say that is because I love that man with a deep love in the Lord. It nullifies the lies of Satan because God wants you. Blessing number 2, you have been adopted. Now, I don't know if you know a lot about the laws of adoption, but the laws of adoption says this. It says to us that we were not a natural born son or daughter. That privilege was given to the Jews. He was their chosen. The Jewish nation was God's chosen nation. But then what happened? God said, even though you weren't my natural born, I chose you and I adopt you as my own. Now, Connie and I, see, here's the deal. Both of my sons were adopted. Now, you can get rid of your kids. You can disown them. And I know your thoughts. Some of you are thinking, have there been days like that? But listen to me. When you are adopted, you can never be disowned. I can't say to either one of my sons, you are not mine, because according to the laws of this land and according to God, they have been adopted into my family. I think it was my oldest son that used to go around, and I don't know, Ben might have said this, I don't know. But they used to go around and tell the other kids, look, your parents had to take you. Mine chose us. And that was exactly the truth. And by the way, God gave you the child he wanted you to have. It's up to you to raise them up in the Lord. But once you and I are adopted, the fifth verse says, in love, he predestined. There we go back again. Before the world began, God had already determined in his heart that he was going to adopt us into his family. And guess what? We can't be rejected. God will never reject you. The Bible says he will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. You are his family. You are his son. You are his daughter. You have been adopted into the family of God, and nothing can come between you and God. Not Satan, not the world, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Because he wanted to adopt us. Before time, as we know it, began, God said, I want them to be a part of my family. Blessing number three. Here's one that a lot of people have a little problem with. We are accepted. I have literally counseled with many people. I keep knocking stuff off. That's okay. I've literally counseled with numbers and numbers of people that sat across from me in tears because they didn't feel accepted. And I know it happens. And I know it's real. But can I direct your attention to this part of the scripture? Ephesians chapter 5 in verse number, or chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says this. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself. Now listen to this, because it's the last part of this verse that I want you to understand. According to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, that he favored us in the beloved. You know what? God accepts you. Not the way you want to be, but just the way you are. Somebody need to say amen about that, because God accepts you just the way you are. But he doesn't accept us because of what we've done. He accepts us because of the work of his son, Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, when our Lord gave his life and suffered for our sin, we were covered with the blood of the Lord. And when God looks at us, he cannot do anything but accept us and love us, because we are bought with a price. Blessing number four. We are redeemed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, beginning in that first part of that verse, it says, we have redemption in him through his blood. Now, we just talked a little bit about that. We have redemption in him through his blood. And that word, of course, means that we were set free because he paid the price for our sins. It's kind of like this, church. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 goes on to tell us that the wages of sin, the penalty for our sin, is what? Death. God sent his son to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. And he blessed us with that spiritual blessing of redemption. Amen? Now, Jesus paid the price so that we didn't have to. Let's look at the next spiritual blessing. Blessing number five. Here's a hard one for a lot of people. You have been forgiven. Yeah, I'll never forget. When I was a young man studying for the ministry, we were out witnessing to people, and I was walking down the street, and this guy was in his yard, and I walked up to him and began to speak to him about the Lord, and he said, well, son, you don't understand. I've done so many wrong things in my life that God could never forgive me. I wish I'd have known what I know today then, because here's the truth. There's nothing you could have done. There's nothing you will ever do that God will not forgive you. In fact, let me just be straightforward with you. God has already forgiven you by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he offers to everyone forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 7 and the last part of that, or chapter 1 and verse 7, the last part of that verse says, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You see, that brings a whole new light to the phrase, his grace is sufficient for me. Because that passage of Scripture says that whatever is going on in your life, God has taken care of it according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Do y'all understand what we just read there? God has lavished. What does that word mean? God has given more than we ever thought we could have, more than what we ever deserved. God has given us that grace, and not only has he just given it to us, he has lavished us with it. It speaks of abundance. It speaks of God giving more than we could ever imagine. God gave you his grace. His sacrifice was more than enough to pay for the penalty of our sin. Amen. Blessing number five, or number six, I guess. You have been enlightened. You have been enlightened. In other words, listen to what the verse of Scripture says in verse number 9 and 10 of that first chapter of Ephesians. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he planned in him. And that him is Jesus. For the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth, in him. What is the word saying to us here? What the Lord is speaking to us about today is saying there is no mystery in my will. I've revealed it to you. But the only way you and I are ever going to learn, because see, a lot of people go around going, man, I wish I knew what God's will for my life was. Huh? Open his word. Read his word, because in this word, there is numerous verses that will explain to you and reveal to you what God's will for your life is. Now, some people find that easy. Some people find it more difficult. But you will never find God's will until you get in his word. And he will reveal his will to you. And his will came to fruition when God sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I remember the first time I ever heard that word, the first time I ever read it, and I thought, what in the world is propitiation? Propitiation means that Christ satisfied God's anger and justice against sin by becoming our substitute and enduring the punishment that we deserved. John chapter 2 verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Did y'all just get that? This is a past, present, future scripture, isn't it? He died for folks long before me to pay their sin debt. And that one sin offering was an eternal blessing. See, maybe I need to explain this to you a little further. Spiritual blessings don't end. Material blessings can, but spiritual blessings are eternal blessings again. They go on and on. And what the writer here is saying is that God's one act of sending his son to die on the cross of Calvary for your sins and my sins paid for the sin debt for those past, paid for the sin debt of those present, and will continue to pay for the sin debt of those in the future. And nothing can change that. Blessing number 7. You are an heir. I always wanted to be an heir. I see all these movies on TV about people being heirs and everything. But I got to tell you, I don't have anybody in my family and that has any money. I mean, I'd be satisfied with that first guy that had $40,000. I don't know that I got any that got that much. And I sure don't want their debts. But yet, blessing number 7 says that we are an heir. An heir of what? Verses 11 and 12 of that first chapter. We have also received an inheritance in him. And here's that word again. Predestined according to the purpose of the one who works out everything in agreement with the decision of his will. So that we who had already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to his glory. Now picture this. That spiritual blessing that God gives you of becoming an heir comes from this. Number one, you were adopted. Number two, you were accepted. You are a part of his family. No one can remove you from his family. You are a child of God. And everything that he has, you are an heir to. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Whew. Well, that doesn't even cut it. Because we hadn't begun to talk about heaven, have we? That place that he's prepared for us. And yet, he says explicitly here in this passage of Scripture that we are set to inherit everything that is his. Because we have put our hope in him and accepted him as our Savior. And we've been adopted into his family. Listen, we had no right to be an heir of God, did we? But God made a way. Blessing number eight. Blessing number eight says that you are sealed. Now that takes on a different meaning today than what it did perhaps back during the time that it was written. During that time they would seal a letter by dropping wax on it. And then using a ring to signify who had sent that document. And who was the guarantee, excuse me, who was the guarantor, or how do you say that? Yeah, that word, of that document. Now, I know when I was a kid, we did messages a little bit different than what they do today. You put it in an envelope. Y'all might not, some of you younger people may not even know this. We actually put letters into an envelope. And guess who got to lick them? They'd hand me that envelope and said, "Lick it, son." And I'd go, and I'd lick it. That tasted so bad. Have y'all ever had any of that glue they put on envelopes in your mouth? Ah, that stuff tastes bad. But we'd lick that thing and we'd seal it and we'd put a stamp on it. And we'd send it to whoever we wanted. Text messages took a little longer back then. Listen to chapter 1 and verse 13. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now understand this. When you and I placed our faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within us. Now, there are different works of the Holy Spirit, and how he empowers us, and how he strengthens us, and how he guides us. But we nonetheless have that Holy Spirit living inside of us to be our comforter, to be our guide, and he seals us and is our guarantor. Is that the word? Guarantor? Of that agreement God made with us. Y'all getting that? And it's God's seal of approval. And nothing can alter that seal. Not Satan, not anyone else, because God's seal says this, that I have ownership. It is a finished transaction. It is signed, sealed, and delivered. And nothing can alter that. The promises that the Holy Spirit brings are ours. They are a spiritual blessing, and they're not for one time. They are eternal blessings that are given to us every day as we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Amen? Now, James David, would you come? Blessing number 9. Not only have you been sealed, you have been secured. Now, if this doesn't strengthen your faith in God today, I don't know what will. God has laid the outline out today that He will spiritually bless you, that He has equipped you to be spiritually blessed, that He has provided every spiritual blessing for you and I, and that God is securing that blessing. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14. He is the down payment of our inheritance. For the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. Y'all know what a down payment is? If you've ever bought a car, house, if you ever rented a house, people tend to always want a security deposit, don't they? Y'all realize that the Holy Spirit is our security deposit in God. It is God's act of saying to us, this is just the beginning. Greater things are yet to come. And if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in your life will never be the same, because you are secured. The Bible says that there is glory in us that is yet to be revealed. Now that speaks to every one of us. There is glory in you, church, that is yet to be revealed. As you grow, as you spiritually mature, as you grow in your faith, all of these things will lead you toward submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit. Now this down payment that he's talking about here brings about total redemption, and it does it in 3 phases. We get the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. Number 2, the Holy Spirit continues to work in us throughout the course of our lives. And number 3, the Holy Spirit is there with us when, at the end of life, we receive our full inheritance. Y'all believe that? Now, I was told I needed to do this, so I'm going to. These 9 spiritual blessings are here to sustain us through this life and to direct our attention to God and away from Satan. A pastor was addressing his congregation one time, and he held up a piece of paper, much like the one I'm holding up here. Connie, can you see that? And he asked that congregation, what do you see on this paper? Someone at once shouted, a dot. I see a black dot. And he says, well, that's great. What else do you see? Everyone looked and everyone said nothing. And he said, the pastor looked at them and he said, then you've missed the most important part. You see, you were so focused on the distraction in the middle of this page that you didn't see the paper that surrounded it. And yet, black dot, a small distraction. The rest of this paper, the innumerable blessings of God. And yet sometimes we focus on that little dot, don't we? Complete silence prevailed in that auditorium that moment. Because sometimes we let those little things monopolize our attention. And we overlook the blessings of God all around us. Someone once wrote these words of practical advice. And I think you'll find them interesting. Here's what it said. As you travel down life's pathway, may this ever be your goal. Keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. Yeah, rather than concentrating on the trials of life, fix your attentions on the blessing. That hole will get you nowhere, but that donut tastes really good. Not feeling blessed today? Are you living for God? Are you faithful to God? Have you received Him as your Savior? Would you stand with me? I don't pretend to know your heart, but God knows everything about you. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Him as your Savior, please, please, please talk to myself or Pastor John or others of our spiritual leaders here in the church and ask, what do I do? What must I do to be saved, to be redeemed by the loving God of the universe? And we'll be careful to tell you. But maybe you're here today and you just have been overlooking those blessings. Blessings that occur every day of your life. Blessings like the fact that I got up this morning. I took a breath. I was able, I didn't have to come to church, but I chose to. And God's blessings will be all around you every day in the little things that people do for you and the little things that you do for other people and in those eternal blessings that God has blessed you with. Live in those. And leave today being blessed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the strong name of Jesus, in your holy name, Father, I just want to stop for a moment and ask everyone here, look around. Find those blessings. If someone has been a blessing, tell them they've been a blessing. If you can be a blessing, be that blessing. And as we go through this week and as we go through the days ahead, May we understand that we live, we operate, we exist within the eternal blessings of God, and that we will not overlook them any longer. In Jesus' name, I pray it. Amen.